I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. This month marks 15 years since the U.S. invaded Iraq. It is hard to believe, and as we're about to hear, it's also ancient history for many Iraqis.
The worst of our problems these days is traffic jams.
Businessman and economist Hassan Haddad believes Iraq is starting to turn a corner. Haddad has spent much of his life in Canada, but he returned to Iraq in 2013 to start a new life. A few days ago, he found himself at a Baghdad startup called The Station. It's a shared incubator space where techies and artists come together.
It's a place basically for young entrepreneurs to connect with each other and learn from each other. There was actually a piano concert Friday night that I was lucky enough to attend. And when I was there, there were five or six different performers. And when you're there, I leaned to my friend and I was like, are we in Baghdad? It was the first time that I go to such an event in Baghdad. And it was just beautiful.
That sounds really heartening. An incubator suggests people taking new innovative ideas and finding ways to make them real. Is this the first kind of incubator in Baghdad that you know of?
I think it's the first in all of Iraq, to be honest with you. It's a great initiative that was established by, you know, a bunch of 20-somethings. You know, they're basically getting loans to make this happen, and they put it together. It looked very modern.
What are the other signs that Baghdad is kind of open for business right now?
Security has improved dramatically, I would say, in the last 12 months. Other than the occasional lapse or fault in security here and there, for the past several months, there have been no major incidents or acts of terrorism. And so that's brought a lot of private sector movement here.
I mean, I think of Baghdad as a city full of blast walls and security checkpoints. Is that still the case?
It is not. One of the initiatives that the government has taken on is to beautify Baghdad by taking down those blast walls. Baghdad is several centuries old, and it's a naturally beautiful city. So there have been orders, you know, coming down from the prime minister saying, take down the blast walls. We need to open up the side streets. There's a lot of beautiful buildings and architecture that we need people to see. And there's been a lot of pressure applied on the government to improve services and decrease corruption.
What about the fears, though, of the Iraqi Sunni minority? I mean, their anxiety is real, and they don't think the upper echelons of Iraq's government and military, that they're interested in their safety.
Many of my friends who are Sunni don't have those fears whatsoever. If anything, they say the fact that the majority Shia, you know, federal police and popular mobilization forces and Iraqi army, they laid their lives on the line for mostly Sunni areas to be liberated. And they paid the ultimate sacrifice to liberate mostly Sunni areas. This means that they truly value the lives of all Iraqis. And so I don't think those fears exist. And if they do, it's a very small voice. And it's certainly not here in Baghdad, where sectarianism amongst the populace, not amongst the politicians, is more or less finished.
You sound so optimistic about the future and so confident. I'd just love to know, what keeps you awake at night? Where do you think there is an Achilles heel for Iraq's future?
To be honest with you, if I were to think about all the things that could go wrong, I wouldn't sleep. But the fact of the matter is, it's first time in 7,000 years of history, Iraq is a democracy. We either take it and run with it, or we waste the opportunity. ISIS has been defeated militarily. The economy is rebounding. There's people who are going into the private sector and doing great things. There is hope, and it is tangible. And that's why I'm still around, to be honest with you. If I didn't have hope, I wouldn't stick around.
Economist Hassan Haddad now works at the Iraqi government's Economic Reform Unit in Baghdad. Good to have you on the show. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Journalist Vivian Walt spent 2 years in Iraq after the 2003 U.S. invasion, but she hadn't been to Baghdad for a decade until she returned last month. She found the city had changed in some startling ways.
The streets were absolutely packed with young Iraqis because it was the first night of the spring break, and families were piling into restaurants.
Walt's optimism, though, was tempered.
Certainly, a lot of people in the government are very sunny about the prospects. Look, this is a country that, on paper anyway, has great prospects. It has massive oil reserves, the fifth largest in the world, and it has every reason to be optimistic about its economic future. The real problem is that there has been so much dysfunction over so many years, and we're not talking about just in the last 15 years since the invasion of Iraq by the US, but, you know, for decades previous under Saddam, that there is really a very, very entrenched system of corruption, for example. And everybody will admit that. In my interview with the Prime Minister, Haider al-Abadi, he says corruption is absolutely endemic, that it is pervasive, and that it is actually the most overwhelming problem that the country faces.
How many years had it been since you'd set foot in Baghdad?
Well, I would say I have not been in Baghdad for a good 10 years. So it was a city I knew pretty well, but coming back after a decade's absence was really kind of startling in some ways.
Yeah, what struck you instantly when you arrived about how the city had changed?
There are no Americans around. Mm. There are checkpoints everywhere. You still have a lot of armed people, a lot of uniformed people, and barbed wire and everything that there always was. But this is 100% Iraqi at this point. And that has completely changed the whole flavor and the nature of the city.
In what way?
It really does feel very much that in as much as there are big problems to sort out in this country, it's the Iraqis' problem, and that there is very much a sense of kind of ownership of people, you know, once again feeling sort of patriotic pride and really feeling like they want to rebuild the country. Of course, much of that has to do with the aftermath of the terrible war against ISIS and the feeling of relief and victory after having destroyed the ISIS caliphate. And that was a very binding experience for a lot of Iraqis, at least for the 3 years in which Iraqis were heavily engaged in fighting ISIS, they were far less engaged in fighting each other.
Vivian, tell us about some of the younger Iraqis you met, because it's kind of remarkable. Many of them don't remember life under Saddam Hussein.
According to UN statistics, about 40% of the country was actually born after the U.S. invasion.
40%? Amazing.
Yes. And certainly, you know, a good number of them had been very small kids when the U.S. Invaded. So I met a lot of people who were in their kind of early 20s, just starting their careers. And they say they had a vague memory of bombs falling, and they never really understood what was going on. They just remembered that they had been sort of fleeing Baghdad for some granny's house up in the country. And then there are a whole lot of other Iraqis who really are post-Saddam kids. They were born into a war. They've been living really their entire lives under conflict from of one sort or another. And at this point, they really don't have any sense of having been liberated from, you know, some awful dictatorship. That is ancient history to them. Mm. They want jobs. They want a functional government. They're sick of corruption. You interview a lot of people in their 20s, and they'll all tell you stories about being shaken down for bribes here and there, and especially bribes in order to get jobs. So they feel themselves to be in this kind of cycle of corruption, and they don't see the government as having done very much to really crack down on it.
So with those fresh eyes and minds, in your opinion, Vivian, what does that spell for how Iraq could evolve differently at this point, like without corruption, for example?
You know, the good part of it, I think, is that you have a whole generation, and maybe we now need to talk about the ISIS generation, the generation of youth that have been coming of age during this fight against ISIS. And I think for a lot of them, they don't necessarily see themselves as being primarily Sunni Iraqi or Shiite Iraqi, that there is something larger than that to them, and that they do much more kind of identify with the nation and the central government. That said, they are certainly going to demand that the central government deliver what they want them to deliver. But the optimistic prism, I guess, is that you might have a gradual sort of fading out of these very regional, ethnic, territorial battles that have really plagued Iraq for decades at this point.
Vivian Walt, who recently was in Baghdad on assignment for Time magazine. Thank you very much, Vivian.
You're welcome.